We good? Joshua chapter 12. Actually, you're going to get Joshua chapter 12 in one hand, Joshua 13 in your other. So it just should just be flipping the page for you. But Joshua chapter 12 and Joshua chapter 13. Joshua 12, 1. Now, these are the kings of the land which the children of Israel smote and possessed their land on the other side of Jordan toward the rising of the sun, from the river Arnon unto Mount Hermon and all the plain of the east. Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon and ruled from Aor, which is upon the bank of the river Arnon, and from the middle of the river and from the half Gilead, even unto the river Jabbok, which is the border of the children of Ammon, and from the plain to the tree of Chinnereth on the east, and unto the sea of the plain, even the salt sea on the east, and the way to Beth Jeremoth, from the south under Ashdoth Pigzah, and the coast of Og, king of Bashan, which was the remnant of the giants, which dwelt at Ashtoreth and at Edrei, and reigned in Mount Hermon, and in Salca, and in all Bashan, under the border of the Gershurites, and the Maacathites, and half Gilead, and the border of Sihon, king of Heshbon. Them did Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the children of Israel smite, and Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave it for a possession unto the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh. Then chapter 13, 1, Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years. Wasn't that nice of the Lord to remind him that he was old and stricken in years, as if he didn't know it? You know what that tells me? Joshua wasn't acting like he was old and stricken in years. He was still going at it. He says, And there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. This is the land that yet remaineth, all the borders of the Philistines, all of Geshuri, from Sihor, which is before Egypt, even unto the borders of Ekron, northward, which is counted to the Canaanites, five lords of the Philistines, the Gazathites, the Ashdites, the Ashkelonites, and the Gittites, and the Ekronites, also the Avites. From the south, all the land of the Canaanites, and the Mara, that is besides the Sidonians, unto Aphek, to the border of the Amorites, and the land of the Giblites, and all Lebanon toward the sun rising, from Baal-Gad under Mount Hermon unto the entering in of Hamath, all the inhabitants of the hill country from Lebanon unto Misroth-Maim, and all the Sidonians, them will I drive out from before the children of Israel. Only divide thou by it by lot unto the Israelites for an inheritance, as I have commanded thee. Let's open in prayer. Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord, again, it'd be remiss to not mention these folks that are going through some physical things right now. We lift up Anna and little Raylan, Lord, is there. Little Raylan's in the hospital still, and Anna's just struggling, trying to get over this delivery, Lord, be able to take care of the little baby and this, just the difficulties going on. So we lift them up today. We pray for Miss Zelda, Lord, as she's in the ICU. Pray for her health, that you would just raise her up, Lord, that you'd be merciful just to get her back to 100%. Be with Brother Neil as he recuperates at home, just to be strengthened, and be with Brother Brian and Miss Jamie as they try to take care of them, help them, Lord. We do pray for Kelly right now, Lord, specifically as she's going through this real serious trial there down in Tanzania, Lord, as they transfer her, Lord, to Johannesburg. Just pray, Lord, for a safe journey, Lord, with no complications. Just pray, Father, you comfort her heart, help her during this time. Be with Tom, Lord, get him feeling better. Pray that he can get just a good report so he can head there as soon as he can. But we just pray for her, Lord, that all these things could be tended to the best they can, Lord, there. Lord, if you don't intercede in this situation, it's going to be very difficult. So we just pray that you would intercede and be merciful. Be with Brother Al, Miss Luann during this trying time, Lord, just to comfort them and help them, Lord, as they go through this being miles away from their family. We pray this morning that you'd use the preaching of your word as a time, Lord, just to deal with our hearts, bring us closer to you. Pray, Lord, you take me and set me aside and hide me behind the cross and wash me in the blood. Lord, that the things that come out of my mouth wouldn't be a hindrance to the preaching of this word, but it would help your people, Lord, to be able to gain hold of the things that you have for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated. Here in Joshua chapter 12, what you have is Joshua's given them a little bit of reminder here of what has already taken place. At this point in time in Joshua, they have received the land on the one side of the Jordan. So the stuff on the east side of the Jordan, they're already in possession of. Now, what they're telling them is now there's more land to get hold of. There's the land that's going to be on the west side of the Jordan, all of the land that he lists. And now that you have this takes possession, because now they're no longer in the wilderness, they're no longer wandering. He's telling them now, go out and possess the possession that you've been given. And I think in a practical sense, it kind of reminds me, I remember years ago when I was just a teenager, we moved over from Harrison and moved over actually to the property I'm sitting on now. We put a trailer in, I should say we, my mother and my grandfather put a trailer in, and we lived there for a period of time. And it was a piece of property my grandfather bought in the 70s, and I always enjoyed the land. You know, we did all kinds of things on it. I remember my grandfather made trails, and he went through the trails and he put up signs, you know, little placards of the different kinds of trees that were there. And we went through there and, you know, we knew about the animals on the land. We poached deer like everybody did back in the 70s. You know, I can say that now because the years are, there. Nobody can be, you know, you can't sentence anybody now. I think are we safe? Are we past the statute of limitations? My grandfather has passed away, so I mean, you can't, unless you're gonna, you know, I had nothing to do with poaching any deer. That wasn't me. I just happened to be there. My point is, we loved the land and enjoyed it and lived there for a short period, but where we lived, it was all sandy and it was swamp and it was mosquitoes and there were snakes, and it was just, the land wasn't taken care of. And, you know, I grew up and the Lord opened the door so that we could buy this piece of property. So we bought the piece of property. And as soon as we bought the piece of property, we started working on the ground. And the area that was all swampy and stuff, we dug a pond. I suppose I can't talk about that either. I'm probably going to have the DNR. You know, we're going to have to take all these stuffs out of the message, you know. But we got rid of the swamp and put a pond in and began to take the sand and bring in black dirt. And now you got lawn and we start planting fruit trees. And you just start working the land and start taking control of the land. You see, at one time, the land had control of us, and after now 30-some years of working on the land and working on the land, and anybody knows that if you have land, you're always working on the land. You're always mowing, you're always trimming, you're always trying to crowd everything, because what happens? The forest keeps trying to overtake you, right? So you keep doing all these things, and when I was thinking about that, it's really like the Christian life. See, you get saved, and praise God for salvation, but when you get saved, it doesn't end there. You have been given a possession. The Bible says we're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, which is Christ's. But now that you have this possession, you need to take possession of it and get control of it so that you can use what you have for the glory of the Lord. I think about all the work that we did. I mean, we spent hours and hours, and I mean, just, it's all it was just working the land. This year was the best year now for 30 years. The best lawn I've ever had was this year. And that was the process of fertilization and watering and working and doing everything. Finally, after 30 years, you get a nice lawn. But I had to work at it. And just keep putting effort into it. The fruit trees are doing good. All those things are testimony of what happens when you keep working on something. My point is, as a Christian, you know what your Christian life is? It's a constant work. It's constant effort. You're always trying to get possession of the land that God gave you so that you can glorify the Lord. I had somebody contact me this week and I was just talking to them and they were telling me that, you know, they've been reading their Bible over and over for the last, you know, 18 plus years since they've gotten saved. They've been reading their Bible and they made this comment to me. They said, this is the first year that it's finally making sense when I read it. And I thought, what a testimony. Most people would have quit reading if it didn't click right away. But for 18 years, they kept reading and reading, and finally, it clicked. And it probably has to do with spiritual maturity. It probably has to do with getting control of something that maybe they didn't have a control of before. But what it tells me is perseverance, because the average person quits. If you don't get it the first time, the average person quits and doesn't keep going. So this morning, what I want to preach to you about is just simply possessing your possession. You're saved, praise the Lord, but do you have control of your Christian life? Are you really possessing what God gave you? Notice, first of all, if you want to possess your possession, just like what you learned back here in the book of Joshua and also back in the other, I think back in Numbers and some of the books, Exodus, we read some of these battles in the past. Here's the thing you have to do if you want to possess your possession. You have to take the power away from the possession. Meaning, you can't let your flesh have control of you. You have to gain control of your flesh. The fact of the matter is, the Lord wants you to enjoy your Christian life. This idea that I'm saved and it's a dull, monotonous life, well, it is monotonous, but it's not that you aren't to enjoy it. People got this idea that as Christians, we can't enjoy the Christian life. We are to enjoy it. We're just not to give in to sin. There's a lot of things that you and I can enjoy, but you still need to understand that you have to remove the power from the thing that has control. And the power that we have to fight every day is this flesh. And one of the first things that they battle are those Amorites there in chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And we've studied it already. There's no point in getting into it again. But the Amorites are a picture of the flesh. One of the first battles you get when you get saved is getting possession of this flesh. Now, you take a young person that gets saved at a young age, they have got the advantage. Believe it or not, as a young person, you get saved at a young age, you have an advantage that an older person doesn't have. If you're in a good Christian home and you're being taught the things of the Bible, you're getting the upper hand on how to control the flesh, not to yield to it. In Galatians 2:20, the Bible says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the power of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The idea is, as a young person and you get saved, if you yield your life over to the Lord and start doing right and keep doing right, it's a lot easier to live for Christ. Because you gained control of your life at a young age. But not everybody has done that. And some folks get saved later in life. And because they get saved later in life, their flesh has been kind of running rampant, doing whatever it wants to do. Doesn't mean that you're out there just being a filthy, wicked person. It just means that your flesh does what your flesh wants to do. And it doesn't want to read its Bible. It doesn't want to go to church. It doesn't want to do what God says is right. So you have to fight over it. The Bible says over in Romans 8:1, and I know I won't quote it properly, but it says, Therefore there is no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus, who walk according to the Spirit, walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Something in that order. The idea is when you get saved, you have the Spirit of God in you. And because he bought and paid for you, now what he wants you to do is he wants you to walk in the Spirit. Now you're walking in the Spirit in this flesh. And what you're doing is you're controlling this flesh through the means of spiritual things. Now here's the thing that you need to understand. Just as the children of Israel were given all of this land, notice, matter of fact, it even says there, I think, where's the verse where it says about the rising of the sun? Oh, where is that at? Oh, there it is. In verse 1, it says that they had possessed their land on the other side of Jordan toward the rising of the sun. Why don't you think about that phrase there, the rising of the sun? When does the sun rise? Every day. It comes from the east, but it rises every day, right? You say, what is the spiritual lesson you get from this? If you want to possess the possession, you need to get hold of it every day. You can't just say, I'm saved and I'm going to live for the Lord and then take a few days off. It's kind of like me and my property. There's been years that I didn't keep up on the property like I should, and you know what happened? The property began to take over. Right? That's what happens. And you know what I've learned? I have to do things every day. You have to mow. You have to weed whack. You have to trim trees. Trees fall down. What do you do when trees fall down? You cut them. You got to get rid of the stuff. You got to get rid of the... It's always work. Did you ever notice it's all, every day? It's constantly work. But isn't that the Christian life? Every day, if you're going to live for the Lord, if you're going to possess the possession that God gave you, you have to work on it every single day. The battle didn't end when you got saved. It's something that you're doing every day, and you've got a battle to bring that flesh under subjection. So it starts in the morning. It starts with trying to read your Bible in the morning, at least somewhat, trying to pray in the morning. The point is that every day you need to get in the mindset that if I'm going to live for Christ, I need to do it every day. The problem is that Christians spend all their days fighting the flesh, and they never enjoy the Christian life. Do you think God wants you spending all of your day fighting your flesh every day? If you got up in the morning and determined and had the right mindset and said, listen, I'm going to live for Christ today, and you started out right in the morning, wouldn't it be easier to keep that mindset than trying to just fight the battles all day long? Give it over to the Lord. Turning things over to the Lord so you can live every day, because the Lord doesn't want you to have to battle every day. He wants you just to be able to maintain. See, the children of Israel get to a point where they've fought the land, they overcome the land, but then you still have to maintain the land. Well, how do we maintain it as a Christian? Bible reading, prayer, doing the right thing, going to church, trying to win souls, living for Christ on a daily basis. Those are the things that we do to maintain the Christian life. The Lord doesn't want you to have to fight sin 24/7. You'll wear yourself out. So you know what you got to do? You got to get your mind set first thing in the morning and start getting your heart right away so that you can enjoy the Christian life. So it's not a constant battle. Some things the Lord's given you a victory over. Enjoy the victory. But you know what we always do? We tempt ourselves. Remember I told you, what was it, last week or so, my wife had, she gets candy, she brings it home. And I told you, I told her to hide the candy, right? And then she said that she hid the candy, and she says, well, you'll never find it. Well, you give me that kind of challenge, I'm going to find the candy. So I find the candy. So she hides the candy again. Listen, I am a candy junkie. I don't need to eat it. My sugar does not need it. I don't need it. So she hides it again. She says, you'll never find it this time. You know what I'm doing last night? Opening cupboards, looking through things, looking. I mean, I'm wasting my time trying to find this candy. You say, why? Because she said you couldn't find it? No, because I wanted the candy. I didn't find the candy, but I wasted my time doing something I shouldn't have been doing when I could have been more profitable. See where I'm going with that? Why not just accept the fact that the Lord took it away from you? But why do we always go back after it? If the Lord gave you victory, then enjoy the victory. Why say, well, let's just make sure the Lord took it from me. Let me just check to make sure I'm still not tempted. Now, you laugh at me for doing it, right? But that's what you do in your spiritual life. Lord gives you victory over something, and then you just got to just kind of just play with it a little bit. Well, that's not the Lord's intent. He wants you to get victory over the possession. And what he wants you to do is he wants you to keep fighting the possession to get that foothold. But notice there in chapter 12, you know, one of the battles that you find is those giants. What we find here at this point now, that there's remnants of giants in the land. Just remnants. That means there's not very many. You know what I find out about the Christian life is this. Just like the children of Israel had a few giants left to overcome in the land, when we get saved and we start getting control of our possession and start living for Christ, there's always a giant that seems to have popped up. And that giant has been maybe sitting there kind of dormant, being quiet, but the more you gain possession of your life, in other words, bringing your flesh into subjection, bringing your mind into subjection, bringing your spirit into the place where you can worship and praise the Lord like you ought to, as you are examining yourself on a daily basis, what you start finding is, oh, wait, there's something still left. There's a giant that has a foothold in my life. Over the years in studying the book of Joshua, I found that there are seven mentions of giants in the book of Joshua. I'll give you a list here. I won't give you the references. But he talks about the giants of the valley. He talks about the giants of the mountains. He talks about the giants of the forest. He talks about the giants that were in the hills and the giants that were in the city. That tells me that these giants were spread out throughout the whole land of Israel sporadically. There was just a remnant, but they were there. Well, you know what a giant does, just like with Goliath as he showed up. He scares people. Because that giant is what he does is he defies God. He defies you to remove him from your life. If you're going to possess the possession, you're going to have to learn to remove the giant. You got to identify him, and then you got to realize, I need to get rid of him. And the greatest way to get rid of him is don't be afraid to get rid of him. That's what held the children of Israel back during David's time. They were afraid of Goliath. Well, David wasn't afraid. Why wasn't he afraid? Because he had already had a spiritual life that had been in tune with fighting bears and fighting lions. If you can fight a bear and you can fight a lion, then you can fight a giant. And Goliath was able to be defeated by David because David didn't fear the giant. He feared the Lord. He put his trust in the Lord. He went out and he took that foothold and he removed the last remnant. And as a Christian, what you have to do is you have to remove the last remnant of the flesh. You know why? Because our flesh is always rearing up. And no matter how long you've been saved and how long you've tried to fight to get victory for the Christian life, there's a giant there that needs to be defeated. And if you want to get victory over him, you've got to beat him. But then what you got to do is you got to take that energy that you had to fight that giant and now start putting that energy into serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, you know what it seems like in the Christian life? We're constantly fighting giants. We're constantly wasting our strength, wasting our resources, and you can never get it back, right? So once you fight the giant, why not defeat the giant? And then instead of wasting your time and your energy fighting all the flesh all the time, why not now use it to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? To be able to get hold of this possession and bring it into a place where now I have, not only do I have the possession, but I possess it. I am controlling it by the grace and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm walking according to the Spirit so that I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The idea is that I'm not letting my possession possess me. I am spiritually possessing who I am so that I can live for Jesus Christ. Well, the last thing you need to do once you've gone through all of that, if you want to possess your possession, is this, is when you bring your possession into subjection, here's the thing you got to remember. You gain a testimony. You gain a testimony of what God can do with you when you've been overrun by sin and self and Satan. See, when you get possession of this and you live for Christ and you do what's right, it's a testimony to other people that, you know what, you can live for the Lord for 1 year and 2 years and 10 years and 20 years and 30 years. It's always a fight. Yeah, there's always going to be times when you are having to battle the flesh. But you know, the point is, if you can get it under subjection, now you're just maintaining it, right? Lord says he wants to see you get victory over it. Now, if you go to the back of the end there of chapter 12, you know what you find that they overcome? They overcome 31 kings. They overcame 31 kings. But you know what chapter 13 tells us? There are still more possessions to get victory over. Here's the thing. The children of Israel got victory over 31 kings. They weren't discouraged now to keep going forward to overcome the other things. See, when you've been saved for some period of time, your life has been some battles, but you got victory over those battles. So now, use that same testimony to continue to get victory. Here's the thing, as a Christian, you want to be able to serve Jesus Christ for the long haul. You want to have a testimony that I have possessed this possession in such a way that I've been able to keep this vessel clean and this vessel taken care of so that it can be used by the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, it's a constant battle. You set things in order and you just go out and work and you tend to it and you do what the Lord wants you to do. The Lord wants you to realize that there's going to be battles if you're going to live for Christ. But every day, the enemy that tries to creep into your life, you just need to be on guard so that he doesn't get control. Just keeping them at bay. The Bible says if you resist the devil, not if, doesn't start out with if, but he says resist the devil and he will flee from you. You know what that tells me about the devil? When you begin to resist him, he doesn't fight back. He leaves. So you know what you need to do? You need to learn to resist him. How do we resist the devil? Well, we walk by faith. We walk in the Spirit. We live according to what the Lord has laid out in the Scripture. Here's the thing. Do you realize that the Lord has given us all of the principles that we need to live by? Follow the principles. I seen someone on social media, and they had made this point that they'd been in church for years, and they said in their little statement, they said, I'm going to serve the Lord my way from now on. That's the wrong way. The Lord give you a whole book of principles to follow. Do you know why Christians struggle when it comes to serving the Lord? Because they want to do it their way. You can't worship God your way. You can't serve God your way. You can't live for Christ your way. Here's a whole book of principles to follow. If you follow the principles, it works. You say, how do you know? Because I followed the principles. I've done what it says. It works every time. It works in maintaining a Christian life. It works in keeping yourself from sin. It works when you have to overcome sin. It all is there. You just need to follow it. You need to be willing to commit yourself to live for Christ so that you can have a testimony. Notice what he says there in verse 6. He says, all the inhabitants of the hill country, from Lebanon unto Misphroth Maim and all the Sidonians, them will I drive out from before the children of Israel. Only divide thou it by lot unto the Israelites for an inheritance. Here's what I want. As I have commanded thee. You know, when you get the whole possession of your possession, you know what you've done? You have been obedient to the Lord's commandments. Now, here's the thing. You won't know the Lord's commandments unless you read this book and get under the preaching of this book. And you got to read it every day. You got to put your nose to the grindstone. You have to put some effort to it. But the Christian life that's approached as the battles that you find in the book of Joshua, you'll find the same lessons that the children of Israel learned will work for you. We just seen it in Sunday school. In Sunday school, we read that these things were written for our learning and our admonition. That's what it's there for. So if you can take the book of Joshua and read through the book of Joshua and look at how the Lord used these people to overcome a simple thing, taking back the land that was theirs. God made a promise way back in Genesis chapter 12. He said, this is going to be your land. But they didn't get full possession until hundreds of years later. My point is that in the book of Joshua, now they possess it. And now not only do they have the testimony that this is our land, but now they've created a testimony that says we are going to possess this land, we are going to take control of this land, and we are going to use it as the Lord intended. Now, I don't know when you got saved. Some of you got saved a while ago. Some of you got saved recently. But the point is have you taken possession of the land the Lord's given you? Have you taken it seriously and said, listen, I'm saved. Am I living for Christ the way the Lord wants me to live for Christ? Or am I always battling stuff? Or am I always fighting the flesh, and I'm losing all these battles because I'm not doing what the Lord said to do? The principles that are laid out are there to be followed. Get hold of the possession. Say, well, I've been saved for a while. I've been saved and I've got hold of the possession. Well, then maintain the possession. Just stay with it. And you know what you'll find? Keep trying to gain ground. Do you have control 100% of your life? People that are honest would say, no, I don't have control of 100% of my life. Why not? That's because you don't have the possession. Your possession's controlling you. You need to control it by the grace and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, when I'm saying these things, these are all contingent on walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Be in the Spirit. If you're in the Spirit, there is therefore no condemnation to them that are in the Spirit. Listen, you, if you're doing what God tells you to do, you're going to get what you need. But the fact of the matter is, it's a constant daily grind. And there's going to be days where you're going to rejoice over the victories. And there might be days where you have defeat. But you know what? On the days you have defeat, get it under the blood. And the next morning, be determined to gain the ground. And the more you gain the ground, you'll be like the children of Israel, where you've gotten a little bit more and you've gotten a little bit more. And by the time you've gotten farther into the book, you know what you find? They're outgrowing the ground. They need more of it. Haven't you noticed that the more you live for Christ, the more you get control of your life, the more of your life the Lord fills? The Bible says that we're to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, how do you get filled with the Holy Ghost unless you keep working out those things that need to be worked out and yielding over to Him so that you can control it, have the full possession? That's God's intent. God's intent is that you live a pleasurable life. I'll show it to you real quick and then we're going to close. I love this verse. Look at 1 Timothy 6. I've showed it to you over and over and over again, and I'll show it to you again just for the continual reminder. The Lord wants you to enjoy life. There is nothing in this Bible that says you are not to enjoy your life. Enjoy it. Enjoy it for Christ. Notice he says there in 1 Timothy 6, verse 17, I'll close with this. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. You'll never enjoy your life unless you get possession of it. If you're saved, you should enjoy your Christian life. You should enjoy living for Christ. You should enjoy ministering to others. You should enjoy serving the Lord. You should enjoy reading your Bible. Enjoy praying. This morning, I'm starting to pray, and I'm thinking, man, I'm praying for the same people every single day. And the Lord said, yeah, you are. But you know what? That's good. Because you're doing the same thing every day, but isn't that what we do? See, you think you got this idea that the Christian life is just, it should be thrilling and ecstatic. Well, it's just life. And you ought to enjoy it. Enjoy praying for people. Enjoy reading this book. Enjoy serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the more you get possession of your life, the more you'll be able to serve Him. And the more you get possession of your life, the less you'll have to battle sin. You say, why? Because the battle's already been won. It's been won in Christ. You get it under the blood. Yeah, sure, there's some battles that you fight for a long time. Children of Israel fought the Philistines for a long time. But you ever notice when you get into the book of Chronicles, they're not fighting the Philistines anymore. They start fighting somebody else. Say, what happened? They defeated them. You know what that tells me in the Christian life? There's things you're going to overcome. And once you overcome it, there will be something else that's going to pop up, as it always does. But you'll overcome that too. Because you're fighting it in the power of the Lord. You're fighting it in His grace and in His knowledge. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this book, for the simplicity that we find within the pages, Lord, that just remind us of living for you, about getting hold of our life so that you can be glorified in every aspect of it. Lord, we want to serve you. We want to please you. We want to minister to you in everything that we do. So we pray, Lord, that you give us the victory. Give us the strength, Lord, every day, first thing in the morning, to get up and get our minds set and fixed on you so that we can please you. Lord, help us to quit battling the same old things. Let us defeat it and be done with it. Put it aside, Lord. Don't bring it back up. Don't have reoccurring issues with it. But, Lord, help us to just serve you so that we can maintain this possession in such a way that Jesus Christ will be glorified in all things. Sawyer.
Carry in prayer just a couple minutes before we dismiss this morning. Have every head bowed and every eye closed. Just give you a minute to ponder the things that were preached about this morning and search your own heart. And so many times we put our effort into, just like the preacher said, into trying to fight that sin or trying to do something to please the Lord, when really all He wants us to do is rest in what He's done and rest in the victories that He's given us and just give ourselves to Him, give our heart to Him and trust Him, because that's truly what He wants, is us, not what we can do for Him. Maybe there's some giants in your life that you know you need to fight, but maybe you've been having some defeats. Well, maybe you just need to come down to the altar and just ask the Lord to help you. Jesus Christ said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And praise the Lord for the rest that He can give us, but we have to come to Him and be willing to admit our need of Him to overcome sin. The Bible says, "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." And so many times we think that we have our Christian life all under control, but really there's some areas that we need to work on. Just like the pastor said, some of the portions of his land that had been overgrown. I wonder if there's some portions in your heart that have been overgrown and you need to get some things right with the Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd help each and every one of us here, Lord. I just thank you for the encouragement. And I thank you so much, Lord, that it is not impossible to have victory and have joy in the Christian life, Lord. It is just a matter of choosing to do the right thing and of applying the principles and your word to our life, Lord. Most of all, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are our guide, you are our friend, and you are our general. And as we fight the Christian life, help us, Lord, to stay close to you so that we could have the victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.